Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate University Hospital. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, Every Patient's Advocate. I love this title, Functional Foods. And I'm going to take a wild guess with what I picture in my head is not what they necessarily are. But our guest this morning is going to tell us what functional foods really are. Welcome back to Terry Podolak, nutrition counselor and registered dietitian. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Trish.
We haven't seen you in a while. We're glad to have you back. You've been doing this whole new study of functional foods. What are they?
Thank you. Functional foods, it's just a term that means they are, it could be any food that has had some additional nutrients supplied to it above and beyond what the actual food initially was to provide you with. So I like to use a term more, I recommend whole foods.
Okay.
And simply, whole foods are fruits and vegetables, are whole grains, and our proteins, our meats,
okay,
nuts and seeds.
So when I think of the word function and putting it with food, I think, well, that food is supposed to then therefore have a function within my body. So like the whole idea of you are what you eat?
Exactly. But it really doesn't have to be special foods. It's just foods that are grown for us from nature.
Okay.
That's what we are showing that we really need and to focus on.
Well, you know, we do see a lot about this, particularly in magazines, I think of, where it will discuss a certain kind of grain, for instance, or a certain kind of fruit that will have benefits. And certainly as we age and we start eating or reading about some of the things we can eat that might prevent foods, are those the kinds of things you're talking about?
Exactly. Exactly. And even though those magazines are talking about those certain foods, I want people to know those foods do have benefit. We all need to include a wide variety of fruits and vegetables,
mm-hmm,
because every day they're discovering more and more antioxidants or phytochemicals. And what's important too is to actually have the foods versus single vitamin or mineral supplements.
Okay, well, let's get into that in just a minute. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves
okay.
here. First, I want to talk about the benefits because, you know, I have this huge benefit of eating a chocolate chip cookie. The huge benefit to me is it puts a smile on my face. It tastes delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as I only eat one, then I don't feel too guilty about the whole thing. So that's a benefit. The benefits you're talking about are really quite different from that, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So let's talk about...
We all need our play food, our foods that we do enjoy.
Oh, I like that, play food. That's a good term. But tell me then what some of the benefits of eating these whole foods and the vegetables and proteins might be.
Just that our bodies are fighting off diseases every day, or just our immune system. So some of the benefits of eating like half your plate, fruits and vegetables... If you do that, you know you're going to get the needed fiber there to help keep your stomach and your colon strong.
Okay.
That we need and to you know, get rid of the bad things that our body needs to get rid of.
So, okay, so you're talking about two things there. Number one, you're talking about nutrients, but you're also talking about helping to get rid of things that aren't good.
Exactly.
Okay, that's two benefits. All right, got more?
Just the benefits with eating whole foods, just, again, our overall improvement with our immune system.
Okay, so that helps us prevent diseases.
Exactly.
In effect. What about, you know, we've had some of the physicians who've been here and other folks who've been here, and they talk about things, and this is the quote they use, at the cellular level. Are we talking about actually feeding our cells?
Absolutely. You know, the better quality meat and fruits and vegetables that we do have, it shows in research that it does affect at our cellular level. Our cells get stronger.
They do. If the cells are stronger, does that mean necessarily we feel better then?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Talk to me a little bit more about that, because, you know, there are mornings that I get up and it's tough to get out of bed and it's tough to get going. And so my quick shot of caffeine is what does that. And then I might have a bowl of cereal. But you're talking about really beyond that.
Yes, yes. And I can vouch for that. I went to a conference and for 4 days I ate, you know, pesticide-free foods, mostly plant, vegetarian. I just felt overall just better energy. My thoughts were clearer. I could just feel, you know, and I know a lot of us want to depend on that caffeine.
Sure.
But, you know,
sure.
I think it truly, if we each try to make small changes and really get in tune with how our body's feeling, You'll just have more energy.
You know, and actually, I think that's the key, is being in tune with how our bodies are feeling. I know that in times in my life when I've been trying to lose some weight, I'll just restrict myself from sugar. Mm-hmm. And I find that 2 or 3 days, I might even have a headache. But then after that, I do have so much energy. And I have to chalk it up to just avoiding that sugar.
Yeah, yes.
And so it does seem like that would work. All right. We're not just talking about vegetables here. We're talking about meats and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then the term organic pops into my head. Tell me how that relates.
Organic is a term that I hopefully will keep growing more. I mean, there's some confusion because some of our food's labeled organic, but the quality, it's shipped across and maybe way out from the West. Organic, what people need to really seek here are foods that are local grown, local and seasonal foods that are grown within the seasons, have a better nutritional quality also versus food that, you know, we all may like certain foods but aren't in season. And again, they're not going to taste as good and the nutritional value is not going to quite
be
there.
Are you talking about, I know that sometimes if I try to buy strawberries in January, they've been shipped from Guatemala.
Exactly.
That's the kind of thing. Are they just picked too early, do you think? Or is it that something's been put on them while they were growing?
And again, they lose some of those nutritional benefits too as they're just being shipped over.
Okay.
But organic.
But they look good.
Yes, they do. And that can be deceptive. And some of our foods may not look that good, but truly are going to taste still good too. So we need to get beyond that. Organic, though, we really need to ask, even at our local farmer's market, is this grown with pesticides or not?
So the pesticides is part of the key.
Yes. And right. Foods that aren't grown with pesticides have developed that product, and in the soil, they develop their own fighting chemicals, which are the antioxidants that give our foods a better nutritional value.
And so developing what it takes them to fight off problems also then helps us fight
exactly.
off problems.
It's a whole web of life, or
very
just a
interesting.
Circle.
You know, it also strikes me that sometimes I see some of the organic vegetables and they don't look nearly as pretty
right.
as the ones where that do not claim to be organic. And I don't want to say that they are necessarily full of pesticides. We don't know, but they mm-hmm. don't claim to be organic. They look a whole lot nicer. So are you saying that maybe beauty is
exactly.
more than skin deep?
Exactly. We need to get beyond that and really focus again on the taste.
I see.
Too.
Yeah, and you know, that is true. Sometimes the ones that aren't so pretty really do taste better,
mm-hmm.
especially fruit. It seems like there's so much more flavor when they're not necessarily so beautiful.
Exactly.
Interesting. Okay. Let's talk about meat, because that's kind of, even though it's some of the same principles, it's a little bit different, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. The type of meat that we need to look for in the stores is what's called grass-fed or free-range. It's going to, the cows that are going to eat, they're going to be happier cows. They're not going to be force-fed.
How do we define happy cows outside of seeing them on a TV commercial?
You know that they're not going to be confined in tight corners and be loaded up with antibiotics or hormones. The corn that they eat is often filled with pesticide.
Okay, so that's kind of the opposite. If they're not grass-fed, they're
right,
corn-fed?
They're corn-fed.
Okay.
So what you need to look for is that label that they're grass-fed. And you may have to ask your butcher. It may be difficult to find.
Okay.
Or when you go to farmers markets, mm-hmm. there are people that have, you know, have their own grass-fed meat. The type of fat in those grass-fed meat is healthier for us. It's less fat, they're lower in fat, and it's a better fat. The meat is not stressed, and
okay.
it's not transferring to us.
So if I understand correctly, what you're saying is that the happy cows are the ones that have been let free. So that would be the free range. They're eating grass, and they kind of have stress-free days, whereas the corn-fed ones are
very confined and close quarters.
And force-fed.
Yes.
Yep. So, and since they're not so happy, they're overstressed, and that's not good. So if I hear you correctly, it almost sounds like the better off the meat or the vegetable was, maybe the happier it was, for lack of a better term, the better it is for us,
it
too.
It is. It just transfers right over to us, yes.
Do we have proof?
Same with chickens, too.
Really? With chickens, too?
Yes.
Yeah? Do we have proof of that? I mean, what kind of research would tell us that we are better off because of those things?
I think research is getting, they're doing more and more research. They're just looking at, again, just less disease.
Okay. So if we have less disease, and what you said was, I feel better. And, you
yes.
know, that really does make a huge difference, but that's a very individual thing.
Yeah. There's been a lot of studies with blueberries, organic blueberries,
uh-huh.
just showing that we're thinking clearer. It really helps. in animals in the lab and with humans.
Now, speak to me about, you know, one of the things I know that's supposed to be very good for you are whole grains. And we hear about whole grains and choosing breads in particular that are made with whole grains and as opposed to the enriched flours and that kind of a thing. There are all these grains out there now. I see them sometimes in the health food section of the supermarket. There's one that starts with Q. You might know the name of it.
It's called quinoa.
Quinoa, but it's spelled strangely. What's the spelling on it?
It's spelled Q-U-I. N-O-A.
Okay, and we've probably all seen that even in the magazines and so forth, but what do you do with it?
It's a very interesting grain, and the nice thing about it is it's quick cooking, but it's high in iron and calcium and magnesium.
So when you say cooking, but how do you cook it?
You need to rinse it a little bit because it has something called saponins on it, which just is something that needs to be rinsed off, otherwise you'll have a soapy taste. And only you just soak it for a few minutes and then just cook it on your stove for 15 minutes.
And then do you put something on it before you eat it?
It's nice to mix with a vegetable, a little olive oil, or any of your favorite spices.
So you could have it as a side dish with your dinner. Very good. Terry, there is so much more here. And I know you have like this whole range of cookbooks and books that are about eating whole foods and functional foods. Jim Capodolla usually comes by and gives us some resources. Will you give him some suggestions?
Absolutely.
That would be great. And I thank you so much for coming by this morning. We learned a lot about functional foods.
Thank you for having me.
And listeners, we do need to take a break now. Not a long one. We'll be back shortly, so please do stay with us. This is Upstate University Hospital's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.